Hi, I'm Sam Smeltzer, and I'm an HR intuitive and healer. And this is the Heart of It podcast, where we chat about what's at the heart of our workplace cultures, energy. It's time to recognize the physical, emotional, and spiritual energy that creates our cultures. And as HR, we are being called to care for it all. Our organizations need us now more than ever. They need the healing only we can provide as HR practitioners. So what are you waiting for? Let's do this. Hi, and welcome to this episode of the Heart of It podcast. So excited that you are here today. And we are introducing a new member to the Heart of It family. However, she already had a sister episode released on our Heartworker Book Club podcast back in July. She was the last one at the end of July, where we specifically highlighted our guest today as an author, because she has written an incredible book called The Happiness Recipe. But today we're getting to know our guest, Becky Morrison, as a person, a like-minded individual. You know, one of my favorite things about this podcast is the community that comes with it. Yes, there's the community of listeners, but then there is the community of guests and people that I get to meet as a result of the podcast. The podcast basically puts out this gigantic, like, neon sign so that like-minded individuals can find me and we can have conversations. Some of them end up being podcast guests, and some of them just end up being really cool, awesome friends, and some fall into both categories. So I'm really grateful for that. As I look back over the last 3 years, wow, I have like some awesome guests like that I've interviewed in season one who I call my friends, and even season two. And we've had some people who are regulars. We have people who just constantly make introductions. So it's just this whole other piece that I didn't even think was possible or a part of podcasting. I thought podcasting was just podcasting, but never underestimate a medium, I guess. Anyways, before we get into Becky's bio and our conversation, I want to talk about something that is really cool that is coming next month. So if you don't know, we are getting ready to just kind of wrap up this HR community. I shouldn't say it's HR community. It's for HR and leaders. It's just to help navigate culture, and it's called the HR Culture Collective. But they're officially finishing their whole year, their first inaugural year of membership, next month with Gary Ware is actually their closing speaker, which if you didn't listen to his podcast episode, go do that because it is awesome. And he also has a book out. I think I've now plugged this book through several episodes, but make sure you check that out as well. And when we were building this community, we realized that there was another community that was asking for support. And those are the individuals who have been learning about cultivation and caring for their energy. And they've asked, you know, after I've done disengagement detox, after I've come through other classes, or I don't have the ability to come to you weekly classes, because in some areas, Qigong classes are hard to find. However, YouTube has tons of them and they're awesome. So if you need to find Qigong workouts, go to YouTube. But there was this desire to keep learning and wanting to have that provided. And so what we piloted last year, but now am evolving to version 2.0, is Qi Crew, which is essentially our cultivation community. And what's going to happen is, starting in November, it's a monthly fee, very low monthly fee. And you're going to get a live educational workshop, which obviously you'll have access to the replay if you can't attend. You'll also get access to a live class, which will be my old school Qigong yin yoga fusion. So when we were locked down in quarantine, I did a lot of live streaming because I was really focusing on my practice and I wanted to share that with all of you. And so I was doing yin yoga and Qigong combined. And so every month you're going to get one of those workouts. You're going to get an educational workshop that's going to talk about a topic that continues to expand our mindsets on this ancient wisdom from Oriental classical teachings. and even from a health component, a wellness component, and work and personal reflection. So it's just a way to keep developing you and grow together. You know, I think my aim for this was that I need to continue learning. I've said this multiple times. Actually, I'm going to say it in next month's episode with our last guest for this season, who is Jen Mason, that she's a licensed acupuncturist. You know, I'm very much envious of people who have been able to immerse themselves in this knowledge, and I am just getting exposure to it. And I feel like there's just so much and there's so many connections that are there. And so Qi Crew, the cultivation community, is going to allow us to make those connections together. Anyways, that's all I'm going to say because I don't want to hold up us getting to this interview with Becky, but find out more details in the show notes. I'm sure there'll be links and everything because Steph is wonderful, and make sure that all of that happens. All right. So without further ado, let's meet our guest today. So even though Rebecca Morrison was a happily married mom and lawyer with a 2-decade career in big law and finance, she felt something was missing. That feeling led her on a quest to figure out whether it was possible to be both successful and happy. Now a happiness coach and author of The Happiness Recipe, a powerful guide, Living What Matters, Rebecca helps successful but unsatisfied high achievers find their happiness recipe so that they live happier, lead happier, and build happy businesses. Rebecca is a graduate of Wellesley College and Georgetown Law. She is also a UC Berkeley Executive Coaching Institute certified executive coach. I'll be honest with you, and any of my HR friends, you're probably feeling this too. We have a connection to attorneys, especially from our compliance side. There's some of my I just make really great relationships with attorneys, and I don't know if that's because our brains kind of function the same way. So when Becky mentioned that she was an attorney, I felt an instant connection. And then as we continued to talk, there was just so many more similarities, and I knew that we had to share it with the Heart of It family. So let's get to it. Let's jump into this conversation with Becky Morrison. Enjoy. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of the Heart of It podcast. And I'm super excited today because as we're doing through all of season 3, we're introducing new members to our Heart of It family. And this one, I'm really excited to introduce to you Becky Morrison. And I believe, Becky, our common connection is Amy, right?
That's correct.
Yep. Okay. I've just like, we talked all about this fun stuff before we hit the record button. And then I thought, I want to like play back my winding path. So Amy Lynn Durham, which is a family favorite here on the Heart of It podcast, she's also been back already for season 3. She is Becky and I's common connection, and thought that we would get along really well. And we obviously do, because I think we've been chit-chatting and then realized we needed to hit the record button, but we probably could have just screwed around for the whole entire hour and never did the episode.
Right. That's right.
So Becky, you want to say hi to the listeners?
Hello, everyone. I'm glad to be here and really excited to sit down and have this chance to fully connect in this space with you, Sam.
Thank you. And I'm really excited for it today. Becky and I are going to be talking twice this week. She's going to be here on this episode talking about all kinds of good things. But then she's also one of my featured authors in the new podcast, the Heart Worker Book Club podcast, that's launching. So if you haven't checked that out, make sure that you look for that, because we're going to talk all about her book, The Happiness Recipe, which is amazing stuff. But today I'm going to talk about the fact that Becky is a like-minded individual, a reason why you're part of the Heart of It family. I mean, we instantly like gelled from the beginning. And I think, you know, and this is the same connection I had with Amy, is us finding each other to realize that we're all kind of doing this work together. And I think right now, a lot of people think this work is not happening. And I think it's kind of become my indirect mission on this podcast to say it is happening, and we're out here and we exist and we're all in different places. And so I guess, you know, I know I've read your formal bio in the intro, but where I want to start with you is kind of talk about your winding path. Because I remember the first time we connected, when you went through your winding path, I was like hooked almost immediately. I remember I scribbled, if that actually my timeline, I scribbled all these notes about like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. And oh my gosh, this connects to something that I went through. So tell us, you know, Becky, kind of your professional winding path, where you started and where you are today for the listeners.
Of course. And before I do that, I want to tell you, so I was on a podcast recently and I kept saying, well, I took a left turn and I did this and I took a left turn and I did this. And the host was like, well, if you took so many left turns, didn't you eventually get back to where you started? And I was like, no, actually the way I see it is like a Nautilus shell. Like I'm just centering more and more and more and more around the center of who I am and why I'm here, right? So as you think about this winding path, like I don't think about it as a linear winding path. I think about it as like spiraling closer to why I was put on earth at this time. And oh, so my story starts where a lot of people's stories start, which is I did all the things that we feel like we should do, right? I got the good grades. I went to college. I got the medium grades. I got my college degree. I got a good job, but knew that I was expected by the world, my parents, I don't know, to go to grad school. And at that point, I had sort of written off. Initially, I grew up my whole life wanting to be a doctor, but med school was out by this point. And so it was between business school and law school. And more or less flipped a coin between business school and law school and ended up in law school. Rinse, repeat, right? Did all the things in law school I was supposed to do. Wrote onto a journal. Got awesome grades in law school and then got a job at a big law firm as a litigator. And about 4 years into that process, found myself married with a toddler. And one night I was sitting on the floor of the bathroom with my toddler in the tub and the cordless phone clipped to the back of my pants and the notebook on the closed toilet seat cover and the papers spread all around me. And I was doing two things. I was bathing my toddler and trying to prepare our expert for their upcoming testimony. And I had kind of two thoughts in that moment in really quick succession. The first thought was, like, I'm killing it. Like, who says you can't do it all? I'm here. I'm a mom. I'm, you know, having success at work. I'm on partnership track. I'm a good lawyer. And then the next thought was, and I'm exhausted, and this is unsustainable, and I'm not even sure I'm enjoying it. Like, I'm not sure I'm having any fun, and I'm not sure I'm happy. And so that, combined with a few other things, kind of led me down this path of thinking about, what is it that I want my priority in this season to be? And for me, I landed at that point that I wanted it to be a mom first season. And I want to be clear that that's my individual definition, not your definition or anyone else's definition of what it means to be a mom first, because it didn't mean that I wasn't going to work outside the home. What it meant was that I wanted to find a job where I could be engaging my brain in ways outside of parenting and homemaking, but that I could also have the flexibility to prioritize my family when I needed to. And so made the switch from being a litigator to working in sort of a hybrid admin legal role in a really large litigation firm here in Washington, D.C. And I did that for about a decade. And in that role, I managed technology, I managed projects, I managed people, both staff and lawyers. And it really played to this sort of like process and people part of me. I spent a decade in that space and in that organization, and it was a great place to work. And it met my need to have a mom first season because they had an understanding that when push came to shove, I was going to pick family. And that meant missing out on some professional opportunities. That meant saying no to some projects. That meant saying no to things that would have increased my visibility. But it was a deliberate choice that I made because I knew what was most important to me. Well, fast forward, we've added another kid to the mix. And I'm sitting at, you know, 10 years in with, trying to do math, at that point, probably a 12-year-old and an 8-year-old. And so they need me a lot less in physical ways, but they need me in emotional and sort of like presence, just being a part of their life ways. And also as a driver, spent most of those middle school years driving them places. And really sort of did a little bit of thinking of, okay, well, here I am. I have two choices. I could go all in on the path that I'm on, which would have been to become sort of an expert in some legal technology stuff that I was like very capable of, but not excited about, or to do something entirely different. And I picked the left turn of something entirely different. So I went to go and be the COO of an investment firm with a friend from law school with the goal of professionalizing sort of what he had built. And we did that over the course of a handful of years and then realized that he was not growing the way that we hoped and that what he really needed was a CFO. And I had no desire to become a CFO at all. And, you know, he could just hire somebody who already knew what they were doing. And so we decided that it was time to part ways. And so while I functionally, like, while I didn't get sort of fired or laid off, I functionally did. And I knew that I was going to be without a job at the end of 2018. Mm-hmm. And I did what a lot of us who have achieved a lot do when we find ourselves at loose ends like that. It's like, well, what could I do? Let me look at all the jobs and apply for the things that I'm capable of. Well, I'm a very capable person. There's a lot of jobs that I'm capable of. And I didn't really give a lot of energy initially to, well, what do I want to do? Where do I want to be? Again, sort of, what do I want my life to look like now? And I hired a coach. And through that process, looked at a wide range of possibilities from social work to stylist to financial planner to coach, and landed on coaching. And went to UC Berkeley, which is where I met Amy. Went to Berkeley, got my certification, and completed my certification in February of 2020. And as part of the certification program, one of the things that they do is ask us, is put us in front of the whole room and ask us a series of kind of coaching questions. And one of the questions they asked me was, what is your purpose? And I answered, to spread joy. And then I looked around the room and was like, who said that? Because I didn't know that was like a thing for me. And what? And how else don't, what? Like, how am I going to do that? Like, I'm just this lawyer. Like, what does that look like? So fast forward, I have this certification in February and had planned to go out and do a bunch of what we would normally do, like in-person networking, meetings, lunch and learns, to try and develop sort of my brand as a coach, figure out where I wanted to point my coaching skills. And that went away. And so on a whim in May of 2020, I joined a virtual writer's retreat thinking that would give me some structure to create some content. And I wrote a book instead. And that's where the happiness recipe was born. And it all kind of came together that what I really want to do and what I really have been doing now for the past 2 years is working with people like me, successful but unsatisfied high achievers who are trying to figure out, like, I've checked the boxes, but where's the happiness?
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. My gosh, I love, once again, just listening, I love that entire story, just because, number one, it just resonates so strongly with me. I mean, both of us landed with these surprising books that helped to give us clarity as to what we're doing in the, you know, because I was in the same boat when I wrote From Heart to Heart. But the other piece is, what I find fascinating is you and I both started in this very logical mm-hmm. profession, and evolved to this place that is less structured and more intuitive in nature, that I never thought would be associated with evolving to authentic nature, which you kind of started this whole entire story with.
Yep.
And it 100% is. The other thing that I think is just massively obvious is all the things that you went through before those questions of what do you want to do and what do you want to be, and moving away from what you should do to what you're meant to be, and how long it's taken us. I mean, there's so many of us that are in that boat that, you know, wouldn't it have been nice if, like, we knew that going into college?
Yes, and. I mean, I think, like, they say your mess is your message, right? And I've heard that for years. And I was like, well, my life hasn't been, I mean, don't get me wrong, it's not perfect. And there's definitely been trials and tribulations, but it hasn't been that messy. Like, from my perspective, is what I used to say, like, it hasn't been that messy. So how can my mess be my message? Like, I don't get it. What does that mean? And the reality is, I mean, your story is the mess, and it leads you to the place that you need to be. And so, yeah, it would have been nice to know in college that this was where I was going to end up. On the other hand, I think if you had told me in college that this was where I was going to end up, I would have been like, what? Like, that doesn't even compute with the person I was and the messages of the world and the shoulds that I was carrying. Like, it just wouldn't have even made sense. It would have felt so sort of like odd and scary to that version of me that I had to grow into it. And I wish mm-hmm. it had happened faster, sure. And when I launched my coaching business, I had a number of friends, you know, I wasn't sure what people would say. Like, I wasn't sure what my colleagues, my network would say about, like, leaving this high powered path with a lot of earning potential to, not that there's not a lot of earning potential as a coach, but it's just less obvious, right? And, or less, less guaranteed, at least from people's perspectives, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, so I wondered what people would say, but the overwhelming response I got was like, oh, that's going to be great for you. You should have, like, I've known you would be a good coach for a long time. And my first, like, response to that was, well, thanks for telling me. Like, you could have mentioned it sooner. On the other hand, like, when you talk about trusting the process, it's also trusting the past, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it happened the way it happened for a reason.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, everything literally does happen so that you can function and be who you are today and work with people the way that you do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's no question that, I mean, so I also don't think that I would have been able to make the leap from law firm right into entrepreneurship, right? So I had this beautiful bridge where I went and worked for this very small, very entrepreneurial organization. I saw what it was like to sort of have the weight of the world on your shoulders and what it was like to sort of have the ability to like influence and impact the way that you can when you're an entrepreneur and make quick decisions and all that kind of stuff. And so had I not gotten that flavor in that way, and then I also started it's not existing anymore, but a nonprofit basketball organization, and building something of my own was a lot more fun than I thought it would be. And so had I not had those experiences, I never would have made the leap to doing this.
I love that you said a couple of different things, should, and talking about the shoulds that we have to do, and also this idea of the messy experiences. You know, one of the things that instantly I think of, I know we have a bunch of listeners that are either just graduating college, recently graduated college, and they're at that beginning that I'm kind of referencing, like I wish I had known. And, you know, when I work with college students, I'm always amazed because they are a couple steps ahead in getting clarity. But I do think that that doesn't take the messiness away. And so I think you're showing the value. You know, it's going to take hard work and things are not going to be ideal, but what you get during that messy time allows it to evolve into this really beautiful thing. I think of like the whole metamorphosis with the butterfly, and people always tell me that I'm in the ooey gooey stage in the cocoon getting ready to emerge. And nobody ever wants to talk about that ooey gooey stage, which I didn't even realize that butterflies totally
like
maybe you're the one that told me that they like turned into complete mush or something in the cocoon.
I don't think I was the one that told you, but that's true. And, you know, I talk about this a little bit in my book because there's a butterfly on the cover. And one of the things that I've experienced, the butterfly ended up on the cover because right around the time, or I guess it was the fall prior to writing, I had a friend who was sending her daughter off to college, her firstborn to college. And she was, you know, sort of struggling with mourning the end of that season, understandably. And so I said something to her like, you know, hey, this is so exciting. It's her butterfly season. Like she gets to spread her wings and we get to see what she's going to bring to the world. Like how cool does it get? And then I was thinking about that later that day, and I was like, well, shoot, if my butterfly season happened when I was 17 and went to college, like, what the heck am I doing the rest of my life, you know? And the reality is, I don't think it's one butterfly, like one wing spreading that happens. It's like a series of caterpillar, cocoon, butterfly that happens throughout our lives. And I think if we can honor what season we're in, that gets a lot easier. Like, don't try to be the butterfly when you're the caterpillar, and don't try to fly when you're like goo. Just be goo. Like, it's cool. Just be goo. You know?
That is totally the quote that's getting pulled to advertise this entire episode. Just be goo.
Just be goo.
Just be goo.
No, but honestly, I mean, that's like just the simple concept that our life is a series of seasons is a really freeing one. And I saw people struggle, like when we entered March 2020, it was like failing to recognize that the playing field had meaningfully changed and that we might need to adapt and realign. And we do that to ourselves all the time. And so the first thing I like to do when I encounter somebody who's struggling with sort of like some unhappiness is get them to define their season. What's going on right now? Where are you? And what's the most important thing in this season? And then let's align everything around that instead of like trying to have this continuous thread of constancy through your whole life. It's messy. It's going to change. You're going to go through seasons. Recognize it. And that's going to relieve some of the tension.
So, you know, I didn't even think about our conversation going here, but You know, the idea of when you got a coach, because I'll be honest, I didn't get a coach either till I went out and had kind of the same break. I shouldn't say breakdown, but that ooey gooey caterpillar realization moment that I need help and guidance and figure it out. And I still have a series of coaches. I have a team of them in different aspects that work with me on an ongoing basis. And it just so happens that last night, my husband got his first coach, I guess about a year ago. So, okay. And he's been very successful as a financial advisor, never thought there was any benefit to it. And he had this coach and he didn't tell anybody about it. It was like this coach he kept in the closet.
Secret coach.
And apparently he went to a happy hour and for the first time revealed to his colleagues that he has this coach. And so they all kind of were diving in about it. And all of them said, you know, we knew there was something very different about you the last year. We couldn't put our finger on it. I mean, you were still you, but there's just some sort of, it was growth that they were witnessing and recognizing, but didn't understand what was triggering it and what was happening that. So I think, you know, I think this is a great time because you went and got certified as a coach, which I think everyone always is having this great debate. You know, you got to have the certification. You know, coaching is this big gray area. I know I'm not technically certified, but then I'm a certified medical Qigong therapist. So I have other kind of certifications that help me. So, you know, what was that coaching experience like for you? Why did it inspire you to be open to coaching in that avenue? Because I think coaching kind of gets a bad rap. I think, like, even sometimes I have a hard time saying, oh, yeah, I do coaching. Well, how does that, you know, resonate with you?
The coaching industry is in a weird place right now, right? Because a million people are using the label coach when they mean different things other than coach, right? And so that's part of, I think, what happens and why coaching gets a bad rap. I think a lot of times when people say they are coaches, what they really mean is they are teachers or mentors or guides. And there's not a thing wrong with it. That's just a very different job than what I think and what I've been taught and what I've experienced is the true power of coaching, right? Mm-hmm. And so I had an inkling, actually. So it's interesting. When my boss and I at the investment firm met to sort of talk about the future, when it kind of became clear that we were going to probably end up parting ways, he's a good, good friend. So he was just asking me, like, what do you want to do? And I kind of like whispered to him, like, I secretly want to be a coach, but I don't even know what that means. And he was like, yes, do that. So it was really encouraging. But then I kind of put that away because I'm at this point. So I told you my husband had a career in counterterrorism. He is since retired from that career, and now he coaches high school basketball. So I'm the primary breadwinner. And so the pressure for me was like, that's a cute idea, but like, let's pay the bills first and then we'll figure out the rest. And
I love how you said that's a cute idea. Coaching is a cute idea,
but no.
That totally just encompasses everything I was trying to say very nicely. Yes, yeah. Continue.
And so then coincidentally was on an alumni board for the college that I went to, and a woman had just come back from Berkeley and was doing her certification hours and was like, hey, I'm looking for people interested in low cost or pro bono coaching. And I was like, well, I actually am not interested in that. I just want to talk to you about what certification looked like, how you figured out where to go. Like, I just want to pick your brain. So this is just like serendipity, right? I call her. And she actually, it turns out, is married to a lawyer and went to a year of law school herself before deciding it wasn't for her. And I'm like, oh, come on. Like, seriously? Okay, cool. Right. And so ended up hiring her to be my coach and really just sort of like, you know, thought that coaching could be it. But then she, really with her encouragement, was like, okay, zoom out. What are all the possibilities? Because what was appealing to me about coaching is two things. I have historically for years said that I would like a job where I could just help people figure their shit out. Like just where they could come to me with their problems and I could help them. And I wasn't sure what that job was.
Yeah.
Like a professional advice giver. Can I be that? And that's not what a coach is. Just so we're clear. That is not what a coach is.
That's like a Dear Becky poem. Yes,
that's what I was like, how do I monetize Dear Becky? Because that would be super fun. But, you know, when we sat down, it was like this thread of enabling other people's success. And so I was like, let me just explore coaching a little bit more. And as we dug in, so growing up, I don't know if you know the Jane Austen book, Emma.
I know of it. Okay. I've not read it.
So I'm not going to summarize the whole plot except to say that the main character, Emma, basically is up in everybody's business, but trying to like fix the world for the better for them, right? Like make the matches that they need, like engineer behind the scenes, helping everybody. And so my parents used to jokingly, as when I was growing up, call me Emma, as I like tried to solve other people's problems all day long, right? And the more I sort of talked with her and others about coaching, I was like, oh, it's Emma without the downside. Like I get to show up and be a champion for people, be a sounding board, provide them with structure and tools and accountability and space without the meddlesome part, without the attachment to the outcome. Mm-hmm. I was like, it's perfect. And so that's how I landed where I am.
Yeah. And I think I love that you say serendipitous, because when you find your coach, that really is how it is. I mean, my husband, I will tell you that the slate of coaches he interviewed all happened to be like three guys that came on my podcast in a certain amount of time and all basically focused on three areas that he said he was struggling with. And I was like, well, pick one. Here's these guys and they're good at it. And he picked one and has been super happy with them. You know, my coach, I think I've talked about this. Jen Thornton's been on the podcast several times. When I talked to her, she worked globally in HR in China. So when I started talking about Chinese medicine and Qigong, she was like, I get you. I know what you're talking about. I don't think that you're growing like a horn or something out of the side of your head. And I needed someone to help me make sense of all that because it was really weirding me out at the moment. And so I love how you phrased that. And I didn't even plan to go there, but I just think that you just laid a powerful foundation for why coaching is so necessary. And I think it's so needed right now. Like, I think we're in this mental health crisis and we're so, I don't want to say obsessed, but we are so focused on therapists and counselors, but not looking at coaches in their true format. And they're not therapists, they're not counselors. So I'm not saying that that's what you should use for trauma, but for clarity. And when you're feeling stuck, that is what this profession was meant for.
Yes. And I like to think about, so I heard this analogy when I was getting my certification and I like it. So the difference, I like to think about when you think about the difference between therapy and coaching, and this is an imperfect analogy, I acknowledge, but it kind of helps to frame it. I think about therapy as archaeology and coaching as architecture. And sometimes you need to dig a little to build, and sometimes you need to build a little after you dig. So there's like gray areas where, and there are plenty of, let me be clear too, there are plenty of therapists and counselors who are also extraordinary coaches. Mm-hmm. And so it is possible to have in one individual all of those things. But I think like it's important to know when you need to deploy, oh, I need to dig a little because the foundation is shaky and I need to shore it up and I need to understand sort of my past and my past patterning and my trauma and whatever else to move forward, versus I'm here and I want to build something. How do I do that? And that is the power of coaching to me, is that architecture piece.
My gosh. Wow. You're like, I feel like you're another one of my guests that needs like the mic drop sounds. Like, you just like say stuff and like mic drop it. So the one last question that I have for you is, when you were talking about your story, you hinted at that when you originally were growing up, you thought that you would be a doctor. Mm-hmm. Do you remember why you were intrigued to be a doctor? Like, what was the, why the ambition go that direction? And why didn't it work out? Why did that kind of...
Well, I'll answer it in reverse. By the way, I'll answer it in reverse order. It didn't work out because science classes were hard in college. If I'm being totally honest, I worked really, really hard in high school. I'm an only child. I was very much... Not that my parents were like overbearing or helicopter parents by any stretch, but I was very much under their thumb, if that makes sense. And then I got to college and I was like, nobody paying attention. I don't have to go to school, to class. They don't take attendance, right? And so my freshman semester, I think I went to less than half my classes, which I'm not super proud to say, but it's honest. I mean, that's what happened. And science was like, required a lot of work that I wasn't in a position that I felt like I could give. And so that's where the pre-med thing died. I've since considered at various points in my career, like, maybe I'll get a nursing degree. Maybe I'll be a physician's assistant. Maybe I'll go back and do something. Maybe I even thought at one point about getting a counseling degree, like some sort of LCSW or, and I don't write any of that off. Like I'm 46 years young. There's lots of time to learn in my life and I'm a lifelong learner for sure. But that's why it fell by the wayside. Why I think it was interesting. I think I've always had a real passion for helping people and solving problems. And that seemed like a clear place to do it. It was like a logical, made sense place to do it. And I really like medical stuff. Like in fifth grade, I wrote a paper for one of my, you know, like required science papers about pneumothorax as a procedure, like how you relieve pressure on a collapsed lung and like all this detail. So like there's a mechanical part of it, like almost like a process piece that's in medicine too, that was appealing to me. But I think it's the like actual people interaction plus problem solving, which, oh, by the way, that's coaching too.
Yeah. Yeah. I just find it intriguing because, you know, I find myself, I just had a message from somebody on LinkedIn that like was like, I'm fascinated by your experience in the medical field, which I think they don't accurately read my LinkedIn profile. I think they saw medical Qigong and like assume that I am like a doctor in a hospital or something. But I was like, how easy these worlds can blend, because the mental health component, the wellness component, like all of these things that we have just talked about.
Yeah. I even have had a period where I was like, maybe I'll become a doula or a midwife. Like I have a real interest in sort of fertility and the birthing process too. So yeah, who knows where it'll take me, but
who knows what your next gooey stage exactly. is going to birth.
Exactly.
Becky spreads her wings again.
That's right. For now I'm enjoying flying, right? Like, and I'm going to like ride the wave of flying for as long as it makes sense to do that. But yeah, there, who knows what's next.
You're going to have like the series of books that are all so different. Yeah. It's like, here's Becky as a coach. Here's Becky as a doula. Yes. Here's Becky as a
yes.
social worker. I don't
yeah,
know.
Who
like
knows?
Everything.
Who knows?
Who knows? That's awesome. Well, Becky, as always, our time goes way too fast and makes me very grateful that I have you for this other interview where we get to dive into all about your book and the clarity and content that you created there, because there's some really interesting pieces in there that I can't wait to have that conversation with you. But before we part ways on this podcast, is there anything you want to share with the listeners? Any final thoughts?
No, I would just say, like, I'd love to see you all over on the other podcast. I think today we had some really good conversation and some thought-provoking stuff. But the other half of me, and probably the most important half of me, is the very practical application half of me. And that's what we'll be digging into over there.
Yes. Yes. The power of the words. Oh, sorry. My dogs are throwing around bones upstairs. Anyways, yes. So yeah, the wonderful power of words and books, which is the whole reason why I'm launching that podcast. And as soon as I saw your book, I knew that it was going to be a great fit for that launch. And so I agree. Make sure everyone joins us over there. I mean, why not? I mean, my gosh, so many nuggets. And we just like started scratching the surface with you. So of course, I'm going to say anytime you want to come back, you are more than welcome to come back. Obviously, we're not finished learning from you. And as you continue to learn, there's only going to be more that you have to share with us.
Awesome.
So thank you so much, Becky.
Thank you, Sam.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Heart of It podcast. I am so grateful for you, and I hope this episode served you. If it did, and you want to support the podcast, share your love by leaving a review on your favorite listening platform. And if you loved our guest today, stay tuned for a very special message to learn more about their services. Until next time, take care of yourself and take care of your organizations. Bye. As a coach, Becky's job is to partner with you to create space, ask questions, make connections, and provide structure that will help you find your best path forward. To learn more about coaching with Becky, go to www.untanglehappiness.com/coaching.